Gwe, Skana, hello, peace. We meet today on the traditional territory of the Haudenosaunee and Anishinaabe First Nations. Please be seated. The following is an excerpt from the Mohawk Protocol at the beginning of all meetings. Ona enue. Yadide wawena nihahrane netsi nunwe toda denak daragweni ne sungwaya dizu. The Creator, sungwaya dizu. Now we turn our thoughts to the Creator or Great Spirit and send greetings and thanks for all the gifts of creation. We are gathered in Synod, this sacred assembly, for the work of the diocese, and particularly today, to be thinking about truth and reconciliation, the Truth and Reconciliation Report and our response to it. This is the second synod in which this is our theme. I am pleased to welcome today the Reverend Andrew Wesley. Andrew is here to help us to hear of ways in which we as a diocese can continue to engage with the calls to action. Next year, we will hold a three-day conference synod in which I hope that we will be able to go even deeper in our reflection and action plans on this important matter. The seven flames in the logo of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission represent the seven sacred teachings of truth, humility, honesty, wisdom, respect, courage, and love. We will need these gifts in order to truly engage meaningfully and justly. We can be grateful that as God has moved us to respond, God is the one in whose strength and love and grace we can do it. The letter to the Philippians reminds us to rejoice in the Lord, to tell God what we need, and to let God help us. The Lord has called us to this time and place. My own response to the calls to action has been to attempt to learn some Ganyageha, or Mohawk, and to attend a powwow last summer while I was on vacation. I was grateful that a course was being offered by Native Montreal, funded by the Canadian Aboriginal Languages Initiative, and that there was a space for a non-Aboriginal to join. These courses are part of the effort to help First Nations people learn and preserve their own languages, and for non-natives to learn one of the languages spoken around Montreal. My own goal is to be able to speak some simple phrases and to understand some of the responses, and in so doing, to show respect to our First Nations neighbors. Recently, at the service at Notre Dame Basilica, commemorating 375 years since the first Eucharist was celebrated in Ville-Marie, I was delighted to hear Chief Christine Zachary Deom read the first lesson in Ganyageha and to be able to exchange the peace with her. She said, Skana, peace. And I was deeply moved by her grace and thrilled to know how to respond. While visiting our partner diocese in Kamloops last month, where I practiced my Mohawk on them, I attended their assembly, where their new name of Territory of the People Anglican Church was voted on and proclaimed. Fully one-third of the participants in that assembly were First Nations people. They, too, are struggling with recovering from being forbidden to speak their language. The legacy of residential schools is even stronger there. There was evidence of pain and also of grace. The cross that they gave me at Synod last year was made by an accomplished artist and survivor of residential school abuse. Bishop Barbara Andrews was the first person to receive a cross made by Opie, the artist, and I was the second. Several of his relatives were present at the assembly. The offering at their closing service was designated for the Healing Fund, the Anglican Healing Fund. Our primate, Fred Hiltz, has invited us to renew our commitment to healing by helping to replenish the fund through Giving with Grace, formerly known as the Anglican Appeal. The goal is to raise $1 million, enough to last for the next 5 years. Grants will be made to encourage and initiate programs that help heal, educate, and recover language and culture. Our offering today is directed to the Anglican Healing Fund. General Synod met last July, and the vote to amend the marriage canon passed with the required two-thirds in each of the houses of laity, clergy, and bishops. Although a second reading is needed before this canonical change is made, several bishops have opted to provide a pastoral response and to allow for some same-sex marriages to be solemnized. I am one of those allowing this on a case-by-case basis. Nikki Hronchak a accepté mon invitation à devenir rédactrice du Montréal Anglican. Nous ne publions que quatre fois par année et je suis ravie de voir les fruits de son implication. Nous invitons les intéressés à soumettre des articles et des photographies. Nikki publie également notre bulletin électronique hebdomadaire. Cela permet de partager des informations sur une base régulière. Leanne Matthews est devenue notre coordonnatrice diocésaine des médias et des réseaux sociaux. This year, I am very pleased to announce that the Bishop's Awards are being given to St. Clair Codrington of the parish of St. Barnabas Pierrefonds in the Archdeaconry of St. Lawrence. St. Clair has been the parish treasurer for over 30 years and has been involved in his parish in every way imaginable, including as sexton, warden, chalice assistant, chapel prayer companion on Sunday mornings, Christmas basket coordinator, PWRDF rep, and synod delegate. He and his wife also host a weekly Bible study in their home. Pamela Dillon, parish of St. James the Apostle, in the regional ministry of Bedford and Stanbridge East, in the Archdeaconry of South Shore and Bedford. For over 16 years, Pamela Dillon has been a weekly volunteer at Établissement Cowansville, a federal prison for men, joining with the chaplain in visiting inmates and in participating in weekly Bible study with great insight, wit, and compassion for the human condition. She also volunteers weekly at the Bromasiskwa Perkins Hospital, pushing the candy cart and visiting with patients and family members. The late Bruce Keller, St. Simon's and St. Bartholomew's Church in Chomedey, Archdeaconry of Montreal. Bruce Keller was the people's warden since 2010, taking on anything that needed doing in order to serve the only Anglican church in Laval and to keep it clean and safe and accessible. When I visited last year for confirmation, we spoke about ideas for growing the church and for welcoming newcomers. Bruce died very unexpectedly this spring and is sorely missed. May he rest in peace and rise in glory. Hugh Mitchell of Holy Trinity Church, Lakefield, the parish of the Lower Laurentians, and the Laurentian Regional Ministry. Hugh Mitchell joined Holy Trinity Lakefield in the 90s, quickly sharing his leadership ability with them on the corporation and as a treasurer. Hugh was part of the movement to offer bilingual services in Lakefield. He became a licensed diocesan lay reader in 2006 and was at the core of structuring a new parish of the Lower Laurentians, helping to model for others how four small churches, Lakefield, Mille Isles, Louisa, and Dunanny, could work together to survive and thrive. With the formation of the Laurentian Regional Ministry, Hugh has been serving as a member of its management committee. Congratulations to this year's awards. Last summer, the Venerable Bill Gray and the Reverend Annie O'Donnell visited our partner diocese of Massassi and attended the diocese's 90th anniversary events and celebrations. He and Andy also attended two confirmation services, each of which lasted for 4 hours. If you think it's warm this morning, the weather was very warm, and so was the welcome. Après la retraite du Vénérable Ralph Levitt, le Vénérable Michael Robson a été nommé archidiacre de Saint-Andrew le 1er septembre. Le Révérend Nick Pang est devenu le chef d'équipe du ministère régional des Laurentides. En mai, la révérende José Lemoine a déménagé à Sainte-Agathe et a rejoint le ministère en tant que prêtre associé. La révérende Sophie Roland a commencé son travail en tant que titulaire de la paroisse de Vaudreuil le 1er août. En septembre, le vénérable Ralph Levitt a pris charge sur une base intérimaire de la paroisse de la Résurrection à Valois. La vénérable Linda Borden-Taylor a été nommée à un pastorat intérimaire à Christ Church Beaupère à mi-temps. The Venerable Pamela Yarrow was collated as Archdeacon of St. Lawrence at Christ Church Cathedral at Evensong on November 13th. And the Reverend Canon Keith Schmidt and the Reverend Canon David Sinclair were installed as honorary canons of the cathedral at the same service. Le très révérend Paul Kennington a annoncé qu'il retournait en Angleterre à la fin de novembre pour être le prêtre associé à St. Andrew's Leytonstone. Lorsque Paul est parti, le révérend Donald Boisvert, qui avait démissionné en qualité de directeur du séminaire diocésain de Montréal à la fin du mois d'août, a pris la relève à la cathédrale à temps partiel et à titre intérimaire. La recherche de la cathédrale Christ Church pour un nouveau doyen est en cours. Please pray for the search committee of this cathedral and for the candidates they are interviewing. Alors que la recherche d'un nouveau directeur pour le séminaire diocésain de Montréal était en cours, le révérend Dr. Neil Mancor a occupé provisoirement et à demi-temps le poste de directeur des études pastorales pour remplacer la révérende Dr. Karen Egan alors que Karen agissait en tant que directrice par intérim. Nous sommes ravis que le révérend Dr. Jesse Zink ait été nommé comme prochain directeur à compter du 1er août. Je suis extrêmement reconnaissante envers le révérend Robert Camara, qui a présidé le processus de recherche, ainsi qu'envers tous ceux qui ont servi le séminaire dans cette capacité. Cynthia Kassab, notre directrice des ressources humaines, a débuté un congé de maternité en novembre, et Doreen Haddad s'est jointe à nous. The Reverend Lauren Tardy, who served St. Mary's Church in Kirkland for many years, went on long-term disability effective January 1st. The Reverend Nick Brotherwood serves them half-time, along with half-time ministry in the parish of St. Luke's Hemingford and Trinity Havelock. The Reverend Nick Pang agreed to serve as ecumenical officer, replacing the Reverend Stephen Petrie, who stepped down due to serious health issues. In April, Stephen had to leave his ministry as chaplain at St. Anne's Military Hospital. We were pleased that the Reverend Canon Joyce Sanchez accepted my appointment as the new chaplain effective May 1st. Several clergy serve as chaplains throughout our diocese in hospitals, prisons, reserve military units, or universities. This year, at the request of the Mile End Mission, I appointed the Reverend Rosalind McGregor as honorary chaplain. Captain the Reverend Alain Brosseau has been serving as a chaplain in the military reserves. He began to discern a call and sought my permission to apply as a military chaplain in the regular force of the Royal Canadian Armed Forces. He has recently learned that he will be stationed at Valcartier, working with the 5th Service Battalion. His last Sunday in Montreal will be July 9th. Alain will continue to be canonically resident in our diocese, and he promises to keep in touch. A celebration and blessing of his new work will take place on June 24th, Saint Jean Baptiste Day, at 10:30 a.m. at Saint John the Evangelist Church at Place des Arts. There will be smoke. Family commitments and needs have meant that some of our colleagues are moving away. The Reverend Elizabeth Welsh resigned from St. Andrew and St. Mark's Dorval in May to move to Victoria, BC. The Reverend James Duckett is moving to Vancouver. The Reverend Eileen Steele is taking up new work in Penetanguishene and Wabashine. The Venerable Bill Gray has decided to move back to Peterborough effective August 31st in order to live closer to family. Bill has served two bishops in his time in Montreal and has shouldered his responsibilities assiduously. We wish our colleagues every blessing in their moves. On Pentecost Sunday, June 4th, the Reverends Jean-Daniel Williams and Stanley Brooks were ordained priest, and the Reverend Jane Bell was ordained deacon. Jean Daniel serves as Anglican United Chaplain at McGill and is in charge of children's and young adult ministry at the Cathedral. Stanley is serving at St. Michael and All Angels in a non-stipendiary capacity, assisting the Reverend Michelle Eason. Jane will serve in the Laurentian Regional Ministry in a non-stipendiary capacity. The Reverend Denis Gevry, who was ordained a priest last year, has been serving the parish of Sorel on a non-stipendiary basis, as well as helping out a congregation in the Diocese of Quebec in Trois-Rivières. There are lots of needs for ministry, but not enough financial resources or clergy who can volunteer their time. Diocesan lay readers are a valued resource in the leadership of Sunday services and in seniors' residences. Le révérend chanoine Stephen Mackeson a été installé comme chanoine de la cathédrale après les récentes ordinations. Je suis reconnaissante que Stephen ait accepté d'assumer le travail de directeur liturgique pour le diocèse. Je suis très heureuse que le révérend Robert Camara ait accepté mon mandat d'archidiacre exécutif et de vicaire général du diocèse de Montréal à compter du 15 août 2017. Robert apporte de nombreuses années d'expérience diocésaine à ce poste. This autumn, we'll see some important visitors from the wider church. The former Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, will visit McGill and the Diocesan Theological College. There will be an opportunity for our clergy to have some time with him, to listen, and to talk about vocation and mission. A delegation of the Council of the Anglican Provinces in Africa will make a significant visit to the Diocese of Montreal as we continue the dialogue within the Anglican Communion. The Archbishop of Jerusalem and the Middle East will visit our diocese in October, and there will be an opportunity for members of the diocese to learn more about the work and challenges of the Church in the Holy Land. Our Diocesan Strategic Plan 2020 vision invites us to focus on five key goals: discipleship, parish financial health, vital church, leadership development, diocesan structures. In our work to move to greater health and vitality, some tough decisions have had to be made. We need to build faithfully for the future and not squander the resources and talents that have been entrusted to us. This has meant merging congregations or closing churches and selling some buildings. It has also meant addressing some budgeting issues that were unrealistic and that were not sustainable. We have been facing substantial deficits for far too long, and we need to realize that we can't continue everything we've always done. I know that this must make some people shudder. But really, our shared diocesan vision is toward greater health, greater discipleship, and greater vitality. Fermée depuis plusieurs années, l'église Saint-Paul à la Chine a été achetée en printemps, ce printemps par une communauté chrétienne d'une autre confession. La paroisse de Trinity Memorial à Notre-Dame-de-Grâce cherchait des solutions depuis plusieurs années afin de solutionner les défis financiers qui la mettaient en péril malgré d'importantes subventions du diocèse. Nous avons conclu que nous devions vendre le bâtiment. Saint Stephen à Westmount a pris la décision de fermer et de fusionner avec Saint Jacques. The West Island congregations have been holding consultations to think about how better to do ministry with the resources and mission and people currently involved. Some are praying and dreaming about where God is asking them to plan new mission initiatives for the future. I hope that there will soon be opportunities for interested people to receive training in mission and leadership. Mark Dunwoody, our diocesan missioner, has a project up his sleeve for this fall. Le clergé du centre-ville de Montréal continue à promouvoir la collaboration et à partager les forces pour réduire des dédoublements. As a diocese on the whole, we need to stop spending beyond our actual income. Otherwise, we need to give more for a mission that we really believe in. The level of giving in this diocese is very low per capita when compared across the Anglican Church of Canada. It is easy to spend down investments instead of investing ourselves. Is that what God is really calling us to do? Is that what a modern-day disciple of Christ looks like? This is a hard time, and yet also a hopeful time. Our God is the God of renewal, and He is not afraid to use hard times to help us grow in faithfulness. I believe that we are being called to lay down our idols and our preferences in this time of deep change and to work together in the cause of the gospel. Partnership in the work of Christ has to mean more than just lip service, as we heard in the reading, but to all who received Him, who believed in His name. He gave power to become children of God. As children of God, we want to share the love and grace we have received. We can only do so in partnership with one another and in union with God. Our experiment in church planting at St. Jack's is gaining attention from all over North America, a name they can't forget. The congregation and leadership continue to grow. They are continually experimenting and adapting to the cultures around them, finding new ways to serve the surrounding community and to grow faithful, generous disciples while attracting new seekers. Several congregations have begun to reach out to their communities through Messy Church and Godly Play. The Diocesan College broadcasts Compline services over Facebook on Sunday nights. And Montreal Youth has a weekly Facebook Live broadcast on Tuesdays, which reaches hundreds of people. Easter services at the cathedral saw lots of young adults eagerly participating, the fruit of the Hungry Minds program they run. We are daring to wonder if other church plants could be possible, and this language is seeping into our diocesan thinking and praying. New people walk into our churches most Sundays. People are hungry for God. How can we better grow our missional reflexes? In 1930, Christian mystic Evelyn Underhill wrote to the Archbishop of Canterbury. While she initially wrote this about priests, male priests, I believe that these words are for all members of our diocese. Our future and our mission hinge on our very own commitment to live holy and sacrificial lives that are attentive to the Holy Spirit. I have adapted her words to include us all. God is the interesting thing about religion, and people are hungry for God. But only a person whose life is soaked in prayer, sacrifice, and love can, by their own spirit of adoring worship, help us to apprehend Him. We ask the bishops to declare to the Church, and especially its ministers, that the future of organized Christianity hinges not on the triumph of this or that type of church person's theology or doctrine, but on the interior spirit of poverty, chastity, and obedience of the members. However difficult and apparently unrewarding, care for the interior spirit is the first duty of every Christian. Divine renewal can only come through those whose roots are in the world of prayer. The letter to the Philippians reminds us how to survive the hard challenges we may face. We must give our church over to God's purposes and God's agenda. This is Christ's mission, and we are serving Him. This is from The Message. Celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in Him. Make it as clear as you can to all you meet that you're on their side, working with them and not against them. Help them to see that the Master is about to arrive. He could show up any minute. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do your best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you have learned from me, and what you heard and saw and realized. Do that. And God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. I want to end by thanking all the staff at Synod Office, and especially Maria Abate, the Episcopal Secretary, for their hard work and commitment they offer to me and to us all as we serve Christ. Nyawagoa, thank you.